In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The past 40 days or so of the season of Lent, if lived well, have prepared us for what tonight begins in earnest. Those long weeks of penance which began on Ash Wednesday are for the Church merely an anticipation of this great and holy week, and in particular for what unfolds in the rites we celebrate tonight, tomorrow, and on Saturday evening during this, the sacred Paschal Triduum. In fact, our preparation for the death, passion, and resurrection of the Lord, though intensified by the spiritual exercises of Lent, extends far beyond it, into the whole of life, even into the cosmos itself. That is to say, all that we are as human beings, all for which our hearts long, all that we seek in our relationship with God, created and creator in a single bond of love, and still more, all that the universe has as its purpose is oriented toward what it is the Church celebrates in these days, namely the Paschal mystery, the heart of the mystery of Christ. The idea of the mystery of Christ comes to us from the first chapter of the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. It begins with that familiar but no less remarkable canticle of praise that recalls the blessing bestowed on us by God the Father, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. And it continues by describing how we have been blessed, that is, through Christ, the only begotten Son of God, by whom and with whom and in whom the Father has made known to us the mystery of his will. A mystery is more often than not these days thought to be something unknowable. But in the scriptures and in the life of the Church, a mystery is less something unattainable and more the precise means of understanding and experiencing a reality. It is something that for sure remains somewhat hidden beneath a veil of symbol and illusion. But it is not something ultimately beyond the grasp, through grace, of human reason. The mystery of Christ, then, is as much a divine reality deep within the inner life of God as it is the way determined by God for us to comprehend and to experience his life firsthand, to know, in the deepest sense of that word, the love of God, which is ultimately the life of the Most Holy Trinity. The Christian mystery is not, therefore, something which is at all clandestine, something to be kept from us. Rather, it is the privileged way by which, as St. Paul explains, we come to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of God's love for us, his children adopted by grace. It is, in short, the way in which the ineffable and unapproachable God has communicated himself to us, chief amongst the ways that the mystery of Christ is revealed to us is the pattern established in these three holy days, the Triduum Sacrum. In the historical events which they commemorate, a foundation is laid for the whole of the Christian life. In the past occurrences of the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Christ, the hidden mystery of the love of God was first revealed. We recall this in the scriptures, and in particular in the narrative set out in the readings, tonight in the retelling of the events of the Last Supper, tomorrow in the recounting of the Passion, and at the Easter Vigil in the several readings from the Old Testament and New, which together set out for us the epic of salvation's arc. In all of these, we hear again what God has done for his holy people in the historical events of Christ's Passion, Death, and Resurrection. And through this, receive our first confirmation of his divine love, of his saving intervention in the realm of time, to purify us from our sins, to restore us to a just relationship with him, and to sanctify us so that we might live in his presence forevermore. At the same time, God, in his infinite wisdom, does not deem this annual review of the historical events of Christ's Passion, Death, and Resurrection alone sufficient to communicate to us the fullness of his love. For surely, whilst the historical events themselves demonstrate his care for us, to experience the full consequence of their power requires something more than simply our knowledge, however faith-filled, of their past occurrence. Recall that the mystery of Christ is as much the message as its revelation, its unpacking for us as a tangible and attainable reality. And so for this reason, the means of communicating and revealing this mystery is preserved not only in the received and revered word of Scripture, but still more in the liturgical and sacramental life of the Church. The Greek word mysterion, from which we get the English cognate mystery, in fact means broadly the same as the Latin word sacramentum. So the mystery of Christ is precisely something communicated in a primary and privileged way by means of the sacramental economy. That is, that system of outward and visible signs given by God and his Church to point us toward and to effect in our lives his inner and spiritual grace. This notion that the worship of the Church is the place where we find the mystery of Christ was summarized beautifully by Pope St. Leo the Great already in the 5th century when he said, "Quod itaque redemptoris nostri conspicuum fuit, in sacramenta transivit." What was visible in our Redeemer has now passed over into the sacraments. In other words, the mystery of Christ, his life, his ministry, his miracles, is not something consigned to the past, but is to be found and to be possessed even now through the liturgical and sacramental life of his mystical body, the Church. All of this means that the historical events that we recall in these days of the Sacred Triduum are not merely things to look back on. Holy Week is emphatically not a mere reenactment of past actions, but a representation in our own time and space, and by means of tangible and effective signs, of the ongoing reality of God's love for us. It's a portal between heaven and earth, a way for us to peer through the veil and to glimpse and to claim, not by merit but by grace, the very fruits of Christ's passion, death, and resurrection, so that we might begin to live now the life of the Jerusalem that is above. This unfolding before us of the means of redemption, at one and the same time recalled and constituted in these privileged days of the Triduum, is found in a particular way in this evening's Mass of the Lord's Supper. Here, we recall the institution of the sacred priesthood and the Most Holy Eucharist by Christ in the cenacle 2,000 years ago. And at one and the same time, we experience them as living means of God's saving love for us. Here we recall the unity of Christ gathered together with his apostles around the one table of the upper room, and at the same time experience precisely the same bonds of Christian charity that permit us to see with our own eyes the face of Christ, not only in the supreme gift of the Most Blessed Sacrament, but also in those with whom we come to share this divine banquet. Here we recall too, not only the uncomfortable juxtaposition of the unfaithful disciple, the son of perdition, with the faithful servant, the Son of God, but at the same time see the inconsistency of our own waywardness, as well as experience, through the very fruits of the Paschal Mystery, the reconciliation that invites us to return to the altar of the Lord and there to eat and drink with him again, the means of our eternal salvation. Tonight then, dear friends, let us come with a renewed appreciation of the potential of this mystery to transform our lives and to bring us into a new and living relationship with the Lord of life itself. Let us be ever more attentive to that fountain of divine grace, which is the pierced and open heart of the Redeemer, made visible and accessible to us in the liturgical worship of the Church, from which all blessing and sanctification flows. And let us be so caught up in the beauty and the richness of our unmerited invitation to participation in the divine life, that every temptation that seeks to distract us from its observance is done away, so that instead we are renewed by our foretaste of the Lord's Supper offered in this present age, and so come to enjoy forever with him the banquet of the world to come. Amen.